One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It makes me so happy when there's a character I worked really hard on and people love that character. That, for some reason, gets me so happy rather than someone just being like, you're crazy. I love it. Because I want every single person to like me. Because if every single person likes me, that means I'm valued. But then you go, wow, I don't know if I'm genuinely connecting with anyone. Because I'd rather feel less than on my terms than someone making me do that.
Exactly.
Because it hurts more.
Exactly. But when you do it on your terms, you almost invite it to happen.
100%!
Angela Giratana. Improv, acting, podcasting, social media, short films, and a beloved Smosh cast member, Angela does it all. She's known for always committing to the bit 110%, but does that commitment come from a deep-rooted need for validation? Or is it simply because opportunities keep flooding her way? I spent a day with Angela, who finally drops her over-the-top character for an honest, deep conversation. Hello, Angela. Okay, you do, I think, more things in your day than anyone that I know. When someone asks you, what do you do?
Yeah.
How do you answer that?
This is so nice. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I say I'm an actor.
You don't say, oh, I do Smosh. Oh, I do improv. Oh, I do Star Kid. Oh, I produce Star.
Well, now I do that stuff. Now I say Smosh.
You say Smosh now?
Yeah, now I say Smosh.
Do you think that's like the biggest thing that you do now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because you came on to Smosh, I think you just celebrated 2 years, right?
Yeah. I had no idea what was going down.
Yeah, like, did you know what you were getting yourself into?
No.
Did you know that there would be hundreds of thousands of people watching, millions of people watching and commenting about you?
No. And you could tell from my early videos, because I'm not dressed up. I think no one's watching it. I think it was because I didn't want to be nervous, so I didn't look up, like, how many people watch.
Maybe that's better, right?
Yeah.
Because then you get in your head and you start, like, anticipating the way that you're being perceived.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So you feel like when you first got on Smosh, you were able to just be yourself, to just exist.
Exactly. That's why I think I loved our, like, live streams and our live shows, like your funeral, where I was like, oh, there's no one here besides just our crew.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finished and I was like, oh my God, that many people were watching.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that. It just feels intimate.
Yeah, you're like, that's just a camera. There's no one there.
Yeah, there's nobody
there. There's no one there. How do you juggle so many things at once? I feel like I've been seeing a lot more people talk about like the problems with having too many passions.
Yeah. And I think that's what I struggle with. I think
early
in my like trying to be an artist in LA, I think the reason why I have so much is because I led with the word yes. And I think someone told me that and it was great advice because it was like, hey, can you PA on my short film? And I'd be like, yes. Can you just take this weird clowning class with me? Yes. And I said yes to everything, which is why I think I have so many like just fun avenues to create and great groups of collaborators. But now someone told me that no is actually magnetic too.
Yes.
And that saying no actually will open other things up for you. But I'm not used to that. I'm used to just like having so much free time with nothing to do. So now it's a shift for me. It's like trying to curate what I'm doing.
Now you have the option to choose.
A little bit. It's still like a scarcity mindset, which I think is just like a young artist in LA trying to pay your living is like, oh, I have to do it all. I have to do it all. But now as I'm getting older, I do think I think everyone says to me, well, you have so much.
Yeah.
You do so much. And that's when I was like, I think I need to just like make it a little smaller.
Did you get started on Swatch as a freelance writer?
Yeah. They brought me in to like audition a little bit, and then they wanted to see me write. And I just pitched a bunch of ideas. Mm-hmm. And then that was like my first day in the office when I met people.
So how long until you became a cast member?
It took a couple months, yeah. Uh-huh. I think it was after that, then I think they liked my ideas. And then I came in, and then I played Super Mario Kart, like, as an audition. After that, then I was like, okay, we're gonna have you do one video. And then it was like, okay, we're gonna have you do, like, another one video. And then that was, like, I think for, like, 6 months, it was, like, one video every once in a while.
So you didn't even know if you had the position of cast member yet?
No.
When did you find out?
Sort of moments like this, when you say, you're on Smosh now, then it goes,
wait, so you feel like you're not even a cast member now until someone says it?
No, I do, but it wasn't like a, I think it was during a live show. It might have been during Smosh, the sitcom.
Yeah.
Where they were making, for the crew, they were making like little cards with all of our names on it. And I saw my name with everybody and I went, oh, I'm a cast member.
That was literally like a year and a half after you had started.
I know, which is crazy. I think it's because no one really just goes, welcome to the cast.
There was no like, you're hired moment.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like,
hey, now we're going to bring you back for a whole week. And I was like, oh, you guys do this all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like that. And I think there was a lot of internal changes. You came and then I was just like, what is this? What's going on?
How do you feel about all this now that you know what Smosh is and how many viewers there are? And has that changed your life or your mindset at all?
Yeah, I think doing content that is based in who I am was very different and new to me. Mm-hmm. That was like just not something I'm used to at all. I think I was used to just sketches, which is why I was excited to do sketch and stuff like that and play characters. But like being myself boldly on camera and just like leading with that or not really having a script or what we're doing and we're just kind of going was very new. And
to like a personality is just Angela.
Yes. And like talking about my interests on camera weren't a thing. Like that was just new for me because I was like, that's private. I do consider myself a private person.
Right.
Which is why it was really hard for me to do the shift between like, oh no, I talk about yourself. Talk about yourself. Mm. And that's why like I'll talk about interests of mine on camera now because I'm getting better at it. Mm. But I don't know. I think weirdly I'm a little private.
Actually, I remember at the Smosh holiday party last December, we kind of had a heart to heart. You mentioned how you noticed that the audience was now commenting on or connecting with you based on you as your personality and not just on the characters and bits that you were doing. You were saying that like it was a really weird feeling.
Because it was new for me to make your art who you are, right? Like I'm just used to like, I went to theater school. I'm used to like, this is something I prepared using myself as the instrument. But like, whether I'm like singing or I'm like writing a song or anything, it's like, that's the art, not me. And I think like just being a personality is, for some reason, I don't know, I associated a little bit of an ick with it, being like, I'm the art.
You're kind of told like, be yourself. Just be yourself, that's the job.
Yeah, exactly, and I think like, I don't know, I like grew up on like gross reality stars where it was like, I'm the artist. I'm Snooki, I'm the artist. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, there's like other people that are like creating and then that's when I started to like, I think this past 2 years, I've met so many creators who they are like joining their life, their blogs or their like, just their personal life, that's the art. And I think I just judged that on the outside. I didn't think there was anything being curated and given.
Yeah, because you were a performer. So I think it's kind of like when you are used to performing as being the art, it's a little bit weird to see people just be themselves.
Yeah, and I think like I didn't see a lot of hard work behind that because I had never seen it. And now I think it's just been like 2 years of watching people that I respect so much at Smosh and all these creators that are like, no, this is, I'm inviting you in and it takes vulnerability and I am creating this. And I think that's been so cool to see, but hard for me to be comfortable with, especially with myself.
Yeah, you were saying if people say, oh, I love Angela, she's great. You're like, that felt weird, but people saying, I love that character she played. Like that felt more comfortable.
Yeah, still to this day, I think that it makes me so happy when there's a character I worked really hard on and people love that character. That, for some reason, gets me so happy rather than someone just being like, you're crazy, I love it. Go with me on this. I think the art, at the end of the day, is the connecting with people. Because I thought, they loved this character I wrote or I performed. Oh, we're connecting. This person loved my character because I made them happy. Versus if I just like went on, so many people will say to me, like, I'll make stupid mistakes on games videos because it's always like wordplay and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, my brain, because my brain, I just have a learning disability. And I'll always be like, oh, and I'll get so many messages and they're like, hey, that meant a lot to me. I can't think like that, and you had a great time figuring that out, and it was fun. And at the end of the day, I don't think that's art, but that's still connecting with someone and making them feel better.
Yeah.
And making them feel like they're not alone. And that's what I want to do with my characters. So at the end of the day, it should be the same shit.
You're showing that it's okay to have a learning disability.
Yeah,
You're showing that like you can be in a group dynamic, entertaining hundreds of thousands of people with a learning disability.
Yeah, and I think that's truly because of our cast. I think I don't think I would have been leaning into more of the like actual parts of myself that are not beautiful, but just like kind of interesting and different if those parts weren't elevated from people laughing and enjoying that. Like I think just every single person on our cast, if I make a mistake, they're never gonna say I'm stupid or they're never gonna think that that mistake was anything wrong. There's no wrong answer. And I think that's like a great collaborative environment. And that's why I think Smoshcast is so, it's just so cast perfectly. It's because I feel so safe being so ridiculously wrong. And no one's gonna be like, ha ha, you fucking suck.
Yeah.
They're just gonna be like, what?
Yeah.
And then somehow I feel like I was hugged. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is, but everyone is just, they just know that like to create momentum and to create good chemistry is to yes and it, and to not just be like, pooh, that was dumb. It's so familial. It doesn't feel like you're like at some like LA party with a bunch of people playing board games.
Who are trying to be cool better than each other.
Literally, it's like everyone's in a hoodie, it's 9 a.m. and we're just tired and we're having a good time laughing. Now being with a bunch of people and it feels very just like we're all besties or cousins is bringing out some part of me that wanted that when I was a kid. That's like, okay, let's be super competitive and let's fuck with each other and it's gonna be so fun. And that's what I think is happening.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people associate you with that over the top elevated personality and not the more serious side of you.
Yeah.
Like this might be the first time that a lot of people even see this serious side of you if you're just talking.
I was honestly so excited to come on the show because that's what I do love about this show is like you don't need to pull a crazy clip. We could just talk.
Just talk.
We could just freaking
it's
chill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that kind of strange that there are so many people out there that do only know you as like Angela at 11.
Yeah. I think it's also just being comfortable. It's like what I said about before and being comfortable with like putting myself on camera. And now it's knowing that I can be enough and not be like ridiculous. Like I can just sit and talk and I'm not letting anyone down. It's not boring.
No.
That's like hard for me to adjust to, especially like doing content in the comedy space. It's hard for me to like not have a joke line every 5 seconds. Like, am I only making jokes so I don't lose someone because I'm worried I'm getting boring? And it's just sitting in that space going, if I am boring, let's just see. Will everyone walk out? Like, or will everyone hate me? I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
Where do you think that pressure came from? Is to always, almost like to always please the people around you in a sense, right?
Yeah, I've always had that. That's always been my thing, and I think it'll always be my thing. Like, you know, when you're like, oh, this is gonna be a lesson I'll talk to different therapists or different people about for the rest of my life. It's just like not pleasing people and feeling like I am enough will always be something I think I struggle with. I think I'm a people pleaser. I think it comes from like my family. It's very Italian, like just like very like smile and like be and like just have a good attitude. And when you're at the table with your family, be nice. Don't be cranky. Be good. And I don't know. It was like that's just a natural thing that, and I think somewhere deep down, I think I'm really, if we're being really honest, I think somewhere deep down, I think I am boring and not interesting, which is just something I have to, as I grow older, I notice it and then I care less and less. I think the more I see people stick around for just who I am, makes me feel more comfortable. And like, as I'm getting older, I feel more and more open and vulnerable with just like being myself.
I'm going through a similar thing actually, which is funny because I've been doing this for 19 years and I'm just this year, I feel, realizing that I also have people pleasing tendencies.
Yeah.
And it's not just people pleasing the people that you're around, but I was also trying to please the audience. I was also anticipating the way the audience would see me.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, like being around a big family, like be this way, be this way. It's draining. It's tiring to kind of like wear a mask and be something because people want you to be this way.
Yeah, 100%.
And yeah, there's a big period of time where I was afraid of people not liking me. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to just be as broadly appealing as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I want everyone to like
me. Me too.
Oh, there's one commenter that didn't like me. How can I change to make sure that person likes me too?
Me too.
But I've come to realize, especially in the past like month or so specifically, like actually this is an awesome way to filter out shitty people that I don't even want to like me. If someone only likes me because I'm fake and I'm trying to be this person for them, actually, I don't want them to like me.
Anthony, that's my whole fucking last 5 years of my life.
What?
It's been that. It's exactly what you just said. Because I want every single person to like me. Because if every single person likes me, that means I'm valued. And that means I am of value and I'm not a piece of shit. But then you go, wow, I don't know if I'm genuinely connecting with anyone.
Exactly.
Because every single thing I'm doing is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like emulating what I think this person wants so they can approve of me. And that's just a lonely place to live. But it's like also just, I think as a kid, I think it was survival. I think like for some reason when you're a teenager, acceptance in school, besides outside of your parents, your siblings, is literally like, I don't know what it is. It's your everything. Seen by someone who isn't forced to love you. And they're like, I like you, you're fun. And that is just like a currency of you just being like, oh, okay, I'm worth something.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere deep down, like, so, I mean, we all get, like, I think I was, like, in middle school bullied a little bit, and I was like, okay, I need to not be myself and be a version of myself that I think these people want, and that's how I'll survive. And somehow that's so deep down, and it just takes unlearning. To do that and to make that a pattern for a long time, it fucks you up when you're, like, in your 30s, and you're like, I actually don't think I want to do anything I'm doing right now.
And it's especially hard when you're in front of hundreds of thousands of people on the internet.
Yeah, that's why it's really nice when it's just a camera.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, well, look at the views later. But when there's a lot, you go, oh, there's a lot of different people to please. That might be why it's been fun to be on Smosh, because I'm getting closer to actually who I am, because it's the more people that are watching, the harder it is to please. Mm-hmm. So at some point you're like, all right, my hands are tied. I just have to be myself and that's it. I prided myself on being so flexible and malleable because I grew up with lots of strong personalities. Mm-hmm. So like there was a while in therapy where I was working so long on like, if someone asked me like, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? And having an opinion rather than just going,
whatever you want.
That was like, that took me so long.
That's people-pleasing, right?
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot better at setting boundaries and realizing, oh, I'm just people-pleasing by doing whatever people want. And, you know, first it was like realizing that I was people-pleasing with my entire career and my perception of the audience. And I was trying to be what they wanted me to be. And then I realized I was people-pleasing with my family by trying to be the support and have no issues of my own so I wasn't a burden to them.
Yeah.
And then realizing, you know, in romantic relationships, I was trying to be what they wanted and trying to please them and, like, trying to make sure they liked me.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like a process. You get through it and then you realize that all that's left is to just be.
Yeah.
To just be.
But then it was so hard because that's exactly it. Because I was learning that when I was in a relationship. I was like, oh, I am so like, yeah, whatever. And now it's so hard to sit and go, I want to do this. And if you don't want that, that's okay.
Yeah.
That like takes some type of vulnerability. That's crazy.
I realize that there's a way to have opinions and set boundaries while also being respectful. I thought that you gain more respect for it.
Yes, I just have a history of just like, sometimes when you're around abusive friendships or relationships that like might not be good for you is when you don't feel like you can have an opinion. That's when you know, like something in you is thinking like, I'll do whatever you want because it'll be easier that way, is actually not. That's like a safety mechanism that you don't really need if you're feeling fully supported.
And then you're attracting friends that only like you for your the fake version of you that is okay with everything when you're not actually okay with
100%.
Everything.
Literally.
When you surround yourself with people that expect you to do whatever they want or they expect you not to have an opinion or whatever, in a sense, it's almost like you don't necessarily respect yourself fully, so you are allowing people who don't fully respect you into your life.
Oh! Yep, that's it. And then you don't realize it's so bad when that's the norm.
Exactly, when your self-worth is then attached to that as well.
Yeah, and then you have great people come into your life and you're like, wow, you're gonna love me no matter what if I don't wanna go out tonight or I do.
Yeah.
And you're going to support me and it's okay. And it's hard to realize that, like, the way you've been doing connection and friendships and relationships is wrong for a long time when you realize how good it could be and how accepted and loved and safe you can feel in other areas.
Also, you were telling me a lot of people don't know that you were a caretaker for your uncle.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
And you really connected with him, and he kind of, you said he was one of the funniest people in your life.
Yeah, I think that might be also why I was so excited to start working at Smosh, because my uncle and I, it was like during the pandemic where it was just like, my brother was working, everyone was just really busy, so I started spending a lot of days really in a slow environment, just sitting with my uncle who was autistic, and he was like 65, and it was just like quiet. Days, lots of quiet days that were like really rewarding now that I look back on them. But at the time I was just like, oh, I'm just so bored. We would go grocery shopping and then we'd come back. And at some point my grandmother couldn't take care of him anymore. So I was, during the pandemic, I just didn't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like, and this was a little bit before the pandemic too. It was like, I just was like not booking any jobs and it was just really rough. And I just started taking him out on like outings, just like we'd go to the grocery store, we'd go to the bookstore, and then that would make him happy. So I think that also might be why I'm like, I love working with so many people now, because it was a couple years of just like a lot of stillness. But I do miss those times too, because he was very funny and was wild. Yeah.
Do you feel like a part of you enjoyed that kind of nurturing aspect of caring for someone?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it came out of feeling so insane, like in my early 20s, just crying about not auditioning felt so stupid. When
crying
I started
crying about not like you
like being like, I can't get auditions. I just want to be an actor. And then just working and sitting with my uncle, who was just so like every morning was so happy to have toast.
Yeah.
He was just like, I need my toast.
I need my toast.
And then it was just like, okay, let's just make him toast. And then he would be obsessed with like watching baseball at night, and that would make him so happy. And I think it was just like getting a little bit of the Hollywood out and just sitting with just like the simple parts of life felt really great. That's all he did, was just live in the moment. So I think it was so fun to just be with him, and only we would just like watch The Bachelor together, and he didn't understand it. He's like, I don't like this. And then it was just like that every day, and just being so simple and not being like, what am I gonna do tomorrow? What's my 5-year plan look like? There was none of that.
So he taught you to kind of slow down.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like that's carried over into what you do now?
I think it carried over to truly, like I grew up in LA, and I think I have now found a way to really just eliminate so much of the business of it all and just be so okay with the fact that it's just about the simple stuff.
The culture really is like, do more, be more.
Yeah.
Like, you are not enough as you are.
Yeah.
You gotta do more. The only way that you're enough is if you have big goals and you're reaching those.
Literally, it's like a generation thing, and it's just like, if you're not, I don't know, freaking inventing Facebook, then what are you doing this afternoon? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's just so many people I think that like I grew up watching that are just constantly doing stuff. And he was just such a great guy that was just simple. And that was helpful to see.
Do you feel like you enjoy the simple more now?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Once I slow down.
Yeah, even though you only have a lemon in your fridge.
Yeah, but it's different now.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Groceries is full now.
How many transactions do you make each month? I couldn't even take a guess. I was shocked to learn that the average U.S. consumer makes an average of 70 payments per month. Keeping track of your spending these days can be overwhelming, to say the least, unless you have Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that empowers you to save more, spend less, and take control of your financial life. With Rocket Money, you can see all of your checking, savings, credit cards, and investments in one convenient place, allowing you to understand your spending trends. Rocket Money can help you set up a custom budget by identifying top spending categories and suggesting areas where you can adjust your spending habits. They'll calculate your monthly spending allowance and alert you when you're close to going over budget so you can save more and spend less on things like travel, entertainment, and groceries. They also have a goals feature that automatically saves money for you so you don't even have to think about it. Whether your goal is to pay off your credit card debt, set away money for a house, or simply save your money, Rocket Money makes it easy. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, sometimes by up to 20%. Saving money on a cell phone or cable bill and not having to deal with customer service yourself, a dream come true. Rocket Money has over 5 million happy members and has saved its users over $1 billion across all of the app's features. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Get Rocket Money today at rocketmoney.com/Padilla. That's rocketmoney.com/Padilla. rocketmoney.com/Padilla. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is just around the corner, so let Uncommon Goods ease your worries. They scour the globe for original, handmade, and remarkable things, like this incredible meditation mug. I love its calming design and the fact that each of them are handmade. Or this energy cleansing candle. It's a perfect gift for someone who loves the scent of sage and lavender. When you shop Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so make sure to get them now before they sell out. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality and unique. There are even gifts which you can personalize. From book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Padilla. That's uncommongoods.com/PADILLA for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, Uncommon Goods.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
We're all out of the ordinary. You are very well respected at Smosh, and the audience loves you.
Thanks.
And you know, you're hosting a new show, you're hosting Bit City. Mm. How has that been evolving into your role at Smosh? Like finding what it is that you do best? Because you said that you were kind of nervous that first episode, like shit.
Oh, still very nervous.
Really? Now? Yeah. Well, I guess it's only been, we've only released three episodes so far.
And I think it's like, because I feel like nervous because we're in the, this is where it really happens, is like, now we're hearing things from the audience. And now we're really, we're zeroing in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, we're starting to like figure out like, what is this? Or how does it shift? What does it change to? I think it's been so cool. I think it's more collaborative in like the producing setting, which I'm used to on my own work. But this is like, okay, there's a lot of us here and there's a lot of content. And I think what's been hard for me is the pressure, I think, of the main channel and wanting to make it and want it to be as good as your guys' stuff and make everyone a part of it too. Is just, it's just, there's a lot, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, I guess there's a bit of pressure because the main channel has, I mean, the main channel's been around for almost 20 years now, and it's had to evolve for over a generation. Like, obviously, the things that people are going to want to watch, the things that work on YouTube are changing.
Yeah.
And we're trying something that hasn't really been done like this before.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying a new thing entirely. But actually, I think that's the biggest blessing of doing something entirely new. Paving your own path, while it's scary because it's not been done and there's a lot of pressure, is actually really liberating because you get to invent it. You get to make it what you want.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to, in my opinion, I don't think that you need to worry about what do people want, am I doing enough? You get to tell them, you get to show them who you are and what it's about.
Yeah, but it is so cool to have a space where we kind of are like making up what we want to do. It's cool to have like YouTube minds in the room and have like Ian or Shane be like, that's not going to do well. Or like we'll follow a comedy bit sometimes too far down versus like what's good for the platform. And then mixing that has been really interesting and really fun to just learn from.
Do you have some kind of future goals that are like, I want to do this project, or are you just kind of feeling it out at this point?
I think it's like, I'm in that shift. I'm like, you got me right where I'm in the shift of like not doing whatever I'm being asked to do and figuring out what I want to do. And that space is really scary. But I do want to do more stuff where, I'm figuring it out. I want to slow down. So wherever my next like interests are following, it's slowing down in a sense, but like zeroing in. Like the first time we shot Bit City, I was like, had just finished something else. And I was like, I wish I was just like on it more. Mm-hmm. And like night before, I was though, but I think it's like focus is like the next thing I'm looking at.
Yeah, I feel like these transitional periods, there's so much uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really scary when you're used to knowing what you're going to do. And sometimes, you know, you find peace in having that North Star that's super obvious. Mm-hmm. But there's actually so much freedom in this time of uncertainty. Because if someone says, what are you going to do? You're like, I don't know. I'll figure it out as it comes. Like as my day progresses, as my life progresses, I'll figure it out in the moment.
Yeah. And that's the best part with Smosh too. It's like there's the viewers and then there's the producers. Everyone's coming in with different ideas on what is like what's next. And it's fun to just be there and be a part of it and be like, how can I help? How can I be a part of it? While also in my free time doing things like other shorts and things like that, where it's like, or writing, where it's like, I get to do both, which is fun.
Yeah, and I think that one of the most interesting parts of Smosh and what it's become is at the end of the day, the thing that people really want to see is they want to see you have a good time.
Yeah.
Like if everyone on camera is having the best fucking time, it doesn't even necessarily matter what's happening. You know, like our mission statement at Smosh is to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. And you know, we defined our niche as comedy rooted in friendship. And if we deliver on those things, then none of the other stuff matters. It's all just like, it's all just a box, but otherwise, once you're in that box, just have fun, have a good
100%.
Time. Like if a group of people die laughing together, if everyone just cracks up and there's like tears of laughter, success.
You're just cultivating a good time rather than a well-crafted joke.
Right.
Like somehow, like I think the algorithm and everybody's kind of liking just falling into it on accident rather than something that's like well-produced, given to you.
I've discovered that as YouTube has evolved, because it wasn't this way in the beginning of YouTube,
people
really wanted like the well-crafted joke, you know, they wanted that. But now audiences just want authenticity.
Yeah.
They just want to see you be authentic and they want to have a good time relating to you, seeing how you deal with feeling silly or dumb in the moment. They want to see how the people around you deal with that. How do they support you through that? Like they just want, I feel like a lot of people turn YouTube on. And even if they are just listening passively, it's because they want to feel like there's a group of people there that are kind of hanging out. Like
yes, that's energy rather than like people not breaking the fourth wall and in the sketch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, was that joke good though? It was like, are they having fun? Do I feel the energy from them having a good time?
100%.
Early YouTube was like, hey guys, all right, we're doing this thing. Like it was super phony.
Well,
it
was
phony.
Like I was watching.
I know.
Whoa. You can really turn it on.
It was super phony, but back then I don't think people cared.
Yeah.
But I think now people are like, just be real. Just be yourself. Like, what are you doing?
Like, it's crazy. You just have the show and you could just sit here with people and talk. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you came from a background that wasn't so internet/audience oriented. You know, you couldn't necessarily see all the comments from people. So what has it been like transitioning into being an internet personality and having that direct access to those comments, especially someone who has felt the need to be praised and has felt, you know, your worthiness was in other people's opinions of you?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people are like, I don't know. I feel like half the people I work with are like read the comments people and half the people aren't.
Yeah.
Are you a read the comments person?
I used to be, but now I'm not. I'll read comments if I'm looking for feedback, like on Bit City. I'm like,
yes, me too.
What types of things can we do with the edit? How can we produce the show? Like, oh, faster bits or a long bit cut up and spread out and then it feels like there's more variation. Like those types of things I'm looking for to refine the projects.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no.
Yeah.
I I used to, and I used to really care, but it used to affect me.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, actually, I don't care if that person likes me.
You've probably had like a 20-plus year relationship with reading comments.
Yeah.
Like up and down and up and down.
And it's interesting because in the beginning, I didn't care at all. I was just myself. I was just some nerdy or introverted emo kid that liked to learn how to edit and program and make websites. I was just like, I didn't care. I was in my own bubble. But then it started to evolve, and then I started to care so much about what people thought about me, because I felt like my entire sense of self-worth and also my career trajectory was entirely in the hands of these people's opinions of me.
Yes.
So then I started to transform myself, and actually I could go back and see just the way I physically look and the way that I would present myself was more like, do they like me?
Wow.
Am I right? Is this right? Am I looking okay? And then in the past year or so, I'd be like, oh, I don't care anymore.
That's wild. I think what you said about it being like with Bit City too is so interesting, because I never find myself reading comments on like something like a Reddit stories or like a Smosh Games video, because it's just like us being ourselves, and I'm not like really dying to know
what they think about you.
Trying not to be dying to know about it.
Yeah.
But then with Bit City, it's interesting. Reading the comments is helping me do what I do in live comedy, which is I really think, and a lot of my friends, my favorite performers, you're listening to the audience and what they like, right? If I'm like doing something, I'm doing a character or something, and I hear them like one thing I just did a lot, I'm gonna do it again in a second. Because I know they liked that, right? And like hearing that and being on my toes, like Amanda's this way too, where like all my characters, if I'm doing them live, they're not like super written. There's like beats, but it's me just like following what I know they want me to do. Like where it's hitting more is where I'm gonna go. And that's so hard with YouTube, because I don't have like a live, I mean, it's nice when we have live people in the audience, because then when they laugh at that one thing, I go, oh, go there, go there, go there.
Yeah.
But with YouTube, it's hard because I don't know what they're gonna like. So that is why I have a different relationship with the comment section with those things. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting, what I think they're gonna love is sometimes so different than what they love.
Yeah.
That's been wild for me. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this Try Not to Laugh character is gonna hit.
Mm-hmm.
Versus they end up loving some other character that was
there's
just
a pope in the road.
Yeah, that was just meant to support somebody.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I feel like the way that you have, how you have this character, this acting background has really showed up in a way that brings such a unique voice and perspective to Smosh. I feel like, you know, like the Dread episodes, for example, like it's about improv, it's about acting, it's about also raising the tension and like really playing into it and taking it seriously.
Yes.
It's almost like these Dread episodes are a perfect culmination of everything that you
do. Oh my God, thank
so
you.
Well.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's honestly, I'm acting just like I think I am like when I'm doing like actual like hired work or like a short that
I'm when recording. I watch it, I'm like, it's so authentic, but also acting. I'm like, sometimes I can't tell if you're saying this thing or if your character is saying this thing. I was like,
if I get to play somebody for more than 10 minutes, then I get to get really lost in it.
It feels like it literally becomes you.
Yes, yes. And then I think like I have to find something that like grounds me in it. And for the Dread characters, it was like this girl breathing deeply. And it was like, then if I get to do that for more, because we're like filming those for like a couple hours, then I get to get really lost in it. It feels so good. And but it's also just like, you know, checking yourself, because I remember right before we filmed that Dread series, I said something that was so alarming to myself that I keep thinking about.
What?
We were about to start and I go, I can't wait to lose sense of my reality and go into a different one. And I was like, oh, that's the escapism. Mm. That is the like, oh, I can't wait for 4 hours to just like be a teenager who wants to survive and not be myself for a little bit.
Do you really feel like you forget yourself?
A little bit. Or like, there was a Try Not to Laugh bit where someone wanted me to come out and I was like, let me grab a wig so I don't feel like myself. And I think that's just, it's freeing. It's like, I don't know, it's like a form of escapism. I think a lot of people, like sports and different things where you just like get out of your head and you feel like somebody else for a second, feels really fun and liberating.
Yeah, and you were saying that there was a moment when you were on Smosh Games that you realized, like despite not being a real gamer, you actually loved it.
If you would have told me before Smosh, like all the character stuff we're doing, all that fun stuff I've seen, I enjoy and have been doing for years. The gaming stuff, never really ever in my entire life would have thought that would be fun for me or fun for anyone watching, because I do get worried sometimes I'm just a bad gamer. that it's not fun to watch.
But that's so not what it's about.
Exactly. And it's also not about people teaching me games, because I think we've been conscious of, like, Spencer's really conscious of, like, not just talking at me about a game. It's so supportive in, like, how, like showing a kid this. There's so much part of, I think, culture that was so gendered when I grew up. Mm. There's so many games where I'm like, what is this? And just because I was, like, raised to be just, like, a girly girl and play dress up, there's so much fun in just, like, the simple games that are super immersive.
That's what makes it so interesting, is a lot of people get to feel like they're playing it for the first time through you.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like there might be, you might have felt pressure at some point to be like, I gotta know this game. I can't look like I don't know this game.
Yeah.
But the audience actually likes that you don't know it.
Yeah, and like, I think it's also having a respect for it. Like, it's also knowing that, like, I'm not being like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I make fun of people for being nerds, but, like, it's also, like, it's knowing there's so many people that love this and going, whoa, teach me about, like, whoa. This is a whole world I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. And there's so many corners of the internet and content that are like that. That's just cool to experience.
I feel like the more that you are comfortable being yourself, and the more, the less that you do worry about what people think of you, it's surprising. It's actually the opposite effect. You know, I feel like it's natural to think that if you care about what people think about you, that you'll be more entertaining. But what's interesting is it's the opposite effect, I've realized. The less you care about what they think about you, the more that it will actually attract them to be like, wait, what's going on? She doesn't care. Oh, she's just being herself. And it makes it so much more interesting. I think it's the authenticity.
I think what's so hard is I have only made art thinking about what other people think, which is, it's just so backwards. And you have to go back to just like when kids just like make art by themselves.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to get anyone's approval. They're just having a good time.
It's about the process then instead of the outcome.
Yeah.
I feel like our entire culture is centered around the outcome of everything that we do. And that's why we're so future oriented. We're never in the present, just enjoying it. It's like turning on a song just to get to the end of it.
Literally.
It's like doing a dance just to do the final pose. It's like
that's not
the point. It's 100% about the process.
Yes, and it's about just like doing it and feeling that instead of like thinking about someone else looking at you doing it. It's so ridiculous. But it's crazy because we're saying this and there's cameras on us. So then I'm also thinking about somebody watching it. It's so fucking backwards.
So do you feel like being open to these things has allowed you to be where you are now?
Yeah, being comfortable with just myself. And I think shifting my life to an abundance attitude rather than a scarcity mindset is like what I want for my next. You're asking like what I'm doing next. That's what I want.
That's your next chapter?
That's my next chapter. And not thinking and not being scared of that, because I still believe I'll be hurt less in the scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm. And that's because it's familiar. And it's natural. We all want what's familiar.
Yeah.
Even if it's hurtful, because it's like, I know I can deal with that pain. I know I can deal with that uncomfortable feeling.
Yes.
Like, that's a lot of discomfort, but I know I can handle that. This, it's like higher risk, higher reward, in a sense.
Like, not thinking about myself as a member of the Smosh cast till like a year in was me just being like, just in case they take it away, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not calling myself this because just in case it doesn't work out, I'll be okay. Instead of just being like, no, I'm gonna work here and I'm gonna host a show here.
Yeah.
Would never come to my brain.
You know what I realize is that is preemptively feeling less than, just in case you have to feel less than in the future.
Because I'd rather feel less than on my terms than someone making me do that.
Exactly.
Because it hurts more.
Exactly. But when you do it on your terms, you almost invite it.
100%!
People will treat you and you will be treated in the way that you perceive yourself. And if you perceive yourself as less than because you preemptively want to feel that feeling, you are inviting that to happen.
And it's crazy that I'm always, always, half of me is doing that and the other half is trying to get me to not do that.
In Ian and I reconnecting and buying Smosh back, that was one of the biggest things that I practiced was kind of having the abundance mindset. Like, I already have this channel. This is already doing well. And I feel like because this channel was doing well, it allowed me to handle all of the stuff that went into now being a co-owner of this company with a little bit less worry. I guess it was an abundance mindset. And a thing that I was constantly saying to people that were helping this acquisition happen, I kept saying, remember, we don't need this. We just want this.
We just want.
And it's okay. We just want it. It's okay. So when things started to come through and it was like, it almost felt like it gave us the freedom to be like, no, this is the way that we need things to happen in order for it to be okay. Because otherwise, if I had the scarcity mindset, like, no, I need this thing or else things aren't going to be okay, then I would say yes to all these weird deal points and who knows what. Like, who knows what I would have said yes to.
I didn't even think about, like, the fear of, like, all of the things that could have gone fucking wrong. I mean, obviously, I thought that. Yeah. But, like, the abundance mindset that you did walk in with, like...
Yeah, just feeling like it's okay if it doesn't happen. In fact, I kind of was like, it's going to be a lot of work if this happens, so... It's going to save me some work if it doesn't happen, actually. It's going to be very stressful. I'll have a lot of anxiety. I'm going to have to get to know, you know, I think Smosh had like 30 or 40 employees. I was like, I'm going to have to get to know all these people. I'm very introverted.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a lot. So, you know, it's okay if it doesn't happen, actually. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I want it, and I'm okay with it. If it does happen, that'd be awesome. We're going to work toward it. We're going to prepare ourselves for it.
Oh, that's really special to hear that from the outside.
Yeah,
that's because I can't even imagine like going into that being like just thinking of all the things that you just want. You guys, even the way you walked in was like, we're doing this. And it was like not like we need approval or like, hi. It was like, because I remember I didn't even have my glasses. Yeah. Yeah. I will never forget. I was a little late and you and Allie were walking up. I thought I recognized you, but I didn't really know you.
Yeah, because we didn't know you either.
Yeah. And the energy you two walked in with, I was like, whoa, these lawyers are walking in. And I thought you guys were like big time lawyers. And it was this like abundance, like we're about to blow shit up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think just that energy, you're right. It's less than like, love me, love me. It was just like, hey, we're about to do this and it's gonna be abundant for everyone involved and it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and I think because we showed up knowing like, we genuinely care about this. We genuinely care about the people. Like, we wanna hear everyone. We wanna like make this good for everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know, we had a really, it was the abundance mindset, but also just knowing that we really wanted to do well. Yeah. I think just made us super confident, so. Yeah, it all plays
good out. To see you, good to be around, good to learn from.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
Angela.
You for having me.
Appreciate you.
I am caffeinated up. If good. I'm talking too fast, slow me down.
I'll just tell people to put it on 0.75 speed.
Yeah, I'm zooted right now.
Yeah, if Angela's talking too fast, just click down there, the little gear icon.
Yes.
Click speed and change it to 0.75 so you could actually understand what the fuck this and then, deranged guinea pig is saying.
And every time Anthony talks, turn it back up to normal speed.
Yeah, and I talk very slow, so turn it to 1.25 speed.
A perfect interview, if you ask me.
It's interactive in that way. Very engaging content.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.